Good afternoon, one and all. On behalf of the board of First Friday, my name is Carl Ertl, and I welcome you. And I welcome you. We made it to Tangiers. Let's give ourselves a round of applause. Who said Catholics can't change? Welcome to today's program. We're all looking forward to our panel of great priests. As we begin today, let's hold in prayer Father John McDonough, the pastor emeritus of St. Sebastian, who even post-retirement would drive all the way from Hinckley to join us at the First Friday. May he and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. On your tables, you will find white cards on which you can write down questions for our panel that they will answer. Here's your chance to really grill Father Norm. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect those cards and then have our regular Q&A session for our panel. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Owen McDermott of St. Hilary School, who will lead us in our opening prayer. Owen?
God our Father, we pray the message of today's gathering will teach each one of us here and inspire us to grow in our Catholic faith. We thank you, especially for the gift of priesthood in our lives. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, once said, "After God, the priest is everything." St. Catherine of Siena called priests angels in the shape of men. We are thankful to our priests, most of all for bringing Christ himself into our lives. We continue to pray for all priests who face many challenges in today's modern world and for all those considering a vocation to the priesthood. We also bless the food that we have just eaten and the hands that prepared it. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Nicely done, Owen. Thank you very much. I would now like to introduce the Vice President of the First Friday Club, Mr. Mike Herhold, who will introduce our esteemed panel. Mike?
Thank you, Carl. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce our clergy panel, who will enlighten us as they share their own stories and reflections on our theme, the joys and challenges of the modern priesthood. Father Jeremy Mertzweiler was ordained in May of 2015 and is at his first assignment as parochial vicar at St. Gabriel Parish in New Concord. He attended St. Vincent Grade School and graduated from St. Philip's and James Grade School and Northwest High School in Canal Fulton. After high school, he earned a degree from the University of Akron in construction engineering. After working a couple of years, he entered St. Mary's Seminary in 2009. He served at Holy Family in Stowe as a deacon. Father Michael McCandless was ordained in May of 2008. He currently serves the Diocese of Cleveland as the enthusiastic director of priesthood vocations. He previously served as parochial vicar at St. Mary Parish in Painesville. He grew up at Holy Family Parish in Stowe and graduated from Archbishop Hoban High School and St. Mary Seminary. Father Steve Granofsky was ordained in May of 1992. Growing up in Seven Hills, he attended St. Columbkill Parish and grade school and Padua Franciscan High School. He attended Borromeo College and St. Mary Seminary and Graduate School of Theology. His assignments have included St. Paul Akron, St. Mary Hudson, St. Francis Xavier in Medina. His appointment in March of 15th of 2007, he became the fourth pastor of St. Hilary Parish. Father Norm Douglas grew up in Akron's North Hill and as a graduate of the University of Akron and St. Mary Seminary, was ordained a Catholic priest for the Diocese of Cleveland in 1974 and served 11 years as parochial vicar and 14 years as pastor in the Akron area. Currently, he is executive director of Heart to Heart Communications and a part-time campus minister at the University of Akron. Father Norm and Larry Villeman in 1990 co-founded Heart to Heart Communications, whose mission is to serve as a community catalyst to foster personal and spiritual development as a foundation for enriching workplaces. It's my pleasure to present our four priest speakers, and we will begin first with Father Jeremy.
So the elders are on my left, and well, it truly is a joy to be here. Just looking out, so many parishes that affected my own vocation. Your prayers, your support, just throughout the journey of my life. I just thank you, from St. Vincent to St. Francis de Sales to St. Sebastian, the Holy Family in Stowe. Even got to work a year at St. Mary's in Hudson with the Life Team. It's just been a gift. So thank you. Before I begin to say anything. But truly it is a joy. I think it is a timely day to talk about priesthood. Today's gospel in the morning at Mass we celebrated. A leper comes to Jesus for healing. And what does he do? He falls prostrate to our Lord. You know, in wanting and desiring healing, what does the Lord do but offer that for him? Last Sunday, we celebrated Epiphany. And in the Gospel, the wise men, they come and they encounter the Lord. And what do? But they fall prostrate and pay him homage. I think I bring this up because falling prostrate is one of those big things that I always had on my mind when I was in the seminary. That, you know, at the ordination rite, we lay prostrate, we lay down our lives when we're ordained priests, ordained deacons. That's part of the rite, part of the celebration. And for many years in the seminary, I'd be like, whoa, thinking about, this is a big deal. You know, this is my whole life. Whoa. But then afterwards, you remember that when you lay down your life, you're laying down your life for the Lord. Just like the wise men, they lay down to the Lord, whose joy, whose hope, whose peace. And that's who all of us, all of our vocations, we're called to do that. We're called to lay down our lives for Jesus. And that's the source of the joy in the priesthood so far. I've only been a priest a week from now. It'll be 8 months. So, you know, mostly joys. You know, challenges I'll still speak on, but mostly joys. I mean, I think the one word in just talking about the joys of the priesthood is unfair. I think it's unfair to, you know, that God would choose me to be able to celebrate the sacraments, to share that identity of Christ. You know, just even my first week at St. Gabriel up in Concord, I moved in Tuesday, and then what happened Thursday was that beautiful festival they celebrated. So it was like this grand celebration. I said, I thanked him at Mass, my first Mass. I said, thanks for throwing this great celebration for me. But just an overwhelming sense of the love of the people brought so much joy to my heart that I was trying to get to know them and welcome them, but they did such a better job at welcoming me. But going back to the Gospel last weekend, of the wise men, that great awe and wonder that they shared when they encountered the Lord is the same awe and wonder that I experience day to day as a priest. You know, when especially like when you speak of the Eucharistic celebration, you know, after you pray the words, "Do this in memory of me," the priest genuflects, and every time I just think to myself, wow, What a gift. How did I get here? You'll stand up and you'll say, how did this happen? Just the awe and wonder of just being able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to be able to speak those words in the Eucharist. Leave me nothing but awe and wonder. It's overwhelming. Also, just the awe and wonder of being able to celebrate baptism, being able to celebrate confession. I remember at Holy Family, I did my first baptism, and it was just like, I remember praying after that, like, holy moly, God used me in all these beautiful things for this little child. I was able to be used for His kingdom. Confession always amazes me too, that people come to you and you're enabled to pour out this love and mercy of God in such a beautiful way that gives such a hope for people. And it all affects my prayer life. Just to think, whoa, I renewed, the Lord used me to help renew someone's soul. It's like, wow. And just the intimacy that priests are enabled to enter into families' lives. When someone dies, when someone's dying, that somehow I'm called to be there with them, to anoint them, to give the family hope. You know, one of my fears going into priesthood was, you know, celebrating funerals, being in the midst of death and dying. But what I've found is, it's been one of the most joyful aspects of the priesthood. Because what are we celebrating but new life in heaven? Beautiful. It's a beautiful gift. How the Lord can transform even our fears into hope and joy. Just to continue with the joy of the priesthood, I think just seeing how the Holy Spirit uses you, you know, to preach, just seeing how He puts things on your heart to help people grow in holiness, it's just been a grace for me. But it all is a calling back to, or a, you know, a calling from our Lord to just continue to depend on God in all things. And that kind of is the segue into the challenges, that in everything I do, I need to depend on the Lord. That it's not about me, but it's about asking the Lord, when do you want to speak to the people? And then cooperating with the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the biggest challenges I've kind of experienced, but kind of just seeing the future, is just the idea of leaving a parish. You know, that to me, I was blessed to be at Holy Family from May to May last year. And it was such a gift. It was such a gift. But the hardest part is you graft. It's like your heart is grafted to the people. And then all of a sudden it's like, and you're like, oh. And it's a pain. It hurts sometimes. But you have to. You have to give your heart. But that's a challenge, to know even these people I'm laying my life down for at St. Gabriel's, you know, 3 years and something, I have to move somewhere. That's a challenge of my heart. Finding another challenge is just finding a beautiful rhythm of prayer. You know, I don't like to sit. I like to go. And just trying to find in my heart the reasoning to stop and to take time for my own spiritual life. So instead of taking away from the people, so that I can be that Christ for them. A lot of times you just want to go. You want to go for them. But just what I found in these little 8 months is that the more time I take in prayer, the more time I take when it comes to exercising, it might seem like me time, but I can pour myself out ever that more for the people. So it's just striving to live that balance. It's been a challenge, but it's just been such a joy overall. I don't know how long it was. Is that good? Are we good? That's about it. Thank you.
Nice job.
I'll tell you about the joy and the enthusiasm that a newly ordained priest has is you cannot fabricate it. You can't fabricate it. It's good to see you. My friends, it's good to see you. And I once again offer the thanks that Jeremy offered when he was here. And I offer a special thanks for the people that I know in this room, because there's many of you here that I know personally and have had the chance to either be in school with, to serve as a priest with. A number of our brother priests are here who normally attend or are also coming just to simply give us some accompaniment. And some young men that I've met as well, talking about the seminary. And certainly a school that I've attended, and Holy Family as well, which I attended. So it's good to be here. This is very much home. I came back from retreat yesterday afternoon. We make a yearly retreat, typically. It'd been about 14 months since my last one. I made a different retreat than I had made in the past. I like to follow an Ignatian model where I go for silence, usually 5 or 6 days, maybe as many as 8. And this time around, I was invited by a Capuchin Franciscan priest, Father Lester, who is one of the spiritual directors at the seminary, to come with him and a group of Pittsburgh priests to spend time in Pennsylvania. Now, without going into the details of what we had talked about or the overall experience, I just want to show you this. If you could imagine, out of 9 priests, I knew one of the other priests. I met 7 of them for the first time. Different in this format, we cooked together, we cleaned dishes together, we prayed adoration in the midst of adoration every day. And I had one of the most powerful experiences of fraternity in my life I've ever had. This was a real experience of grace. It was one of the first graces that I marked down. Every retreat has moments of grace. I will tell you that I believe that the fraternity, the identity of being a priest, the community of being amongst other priests, and also the community and the intimacy, the same intimacy that Father Jeremy mentioned, that we have with God's people is unique to this vocation, and it is unlike any other experience. Certainly there is beauties and intimacy of marriage. There is the intimacy of being part of a religious community, which I think is very similar. But I will tell you, as a diocesan priest, especially one who knows where they came from and they serve the people that they grew up with, it is a fantastically unique experience. Let me offer additional joys in what I think are some really honest challenges. One of the greatest joys, I think the source of the joy in the priesthood is that this life begins with an invitation. Every vocation begins with an invitation. For all the young people who are here, all of you have a vocation. You have a calling. It begins with an invitation. God's going to invite you. The best thing is that God invites you, which means you don't have to make your way through life all the time. God invites you to different ways to serve, to live, and a lot of those are surprising, and they feel like an interruption. But the beauty of this life is that we can always go back to the reality that God acted in my life in either one major way or several major ways or over years, where I can always regather the fact that I was an invited man to this life. I can rely and I can reclaim the fact that God wanted me. I don't know, I shared Father Jeremy's stuff, I don't know why he wanted me sometimes. And I kind of wondered why I wanted other things sometimes. But he wanted me. And the source of joy is oftentimes a mix of suffering and peace. It's the process of God's will coming into being amidst suffering, and the gift of peace is the fruit of it. But entering into this life, I go back and I remember that I was a called man. And that was one of the first joys of this life. It's the one that continues. I always remember that I was called to this. Fraternity. Community. The fraternity of priests. I see guys from Cleveland. I might not have seen them for months. I can say, hey, Ralph, Bob, you know, how you doing? Ralph, it's good to see you. You know, we know each other. I have as a vocation director, I have what I call refrigerator-friendly parishes throughout the diocese, because I drive, I'm at a high school one morning, I'm at a parish that afternoon, I'm like, it's 11:30, can I stop by and raid Father Valenchek's refrigerator at 11:37, you know? And he has been good to do that numerous times, you know? I'll finish a meeting at 9 o'clock and I'll make my way to the kitchen, you know? So it's we have a great fraternity in Cleveland. I would even say, if I could compare, because I meet a lot of priests outside of the diocese, our fraternity, priestly fraternity, is beautifully blessed. It is heads and tails above other dioceses that I've seen. Community with people. Now, community with people, let's think about it this way. If you would imagine for a moment, married person, person who's still discerning, if you would imagine for a moment that we are there when your children gets baptized, when your child gets baptized, when your dad or mom gets buried, when someone needs anointed, when someone needs counseling because it's just something is so clouded and they want illumined about it, we're there. We might not always be good at it, right? Because we're human. But we are there. We have the privileged closeness to be around you that no one else has. And in all honesty, it's a mix of making us a bit, it gives us some anxiety at times, but it also results in much, much peace and gratitude. The community that we have with you is, it's a privileged intimacy. I've watched people make decisions that they would have never made. I've seen people come to the faith that would not have ever come to the faith. I've seen children that have had a brand new path in the midst of adolescence. And you walk out of the confessional about 99% of the time saying, where did I ever come up with that? That's not mine. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me name one of the challenges and joys. It's a joy to evangelize. My friends, it's a joy to teach. It's a joy to have insights. It's a joy to take time and to reflect and to be contemplative over how God works in His world and with His people. But that at the same time is, I think, the first challenge of being a priest. You have to, we're called to, because of documents in Vatican II and before, we're called to evangelize, and evangelization's tough. And if you haven't noticed, I'm beginning to notice, I know my brothers notice it, they're on the parish level, we're not doing a great job of that in the church. We're actually struggling with that. We're having a hard time not being silent about our faith. We have a hard time telling new people about it. One of the challenges of priesthood is that we need to be good leaders of evangelization. We need to be good leaders and being willing to talk about our faith and to invite and to go outside of the normal means and pathways and to try an invitation that we're not so used to. Whether it is talking to a stranger, whether it is doing something online in the social realm, we have to be able to do this as a church better. I think it's one of the challenges that faces the priesthood. I think it's a challenge that faces the entire church, right? But it definitely is one that faces us every weekend. How are we preaching? How are we reaching out? The constant interruption of ministry. As beautiful as intimacy and service is, it's constant, and we're earthly. And we're limited. It's tough. Priestly life requires a lot of balance. And some of us are not always good at that. Myself, I'll be the first to say. Misconceptions. The reality is that a lot of people don't know how we live. You know, there was a skit on online a couple years back. It's like, you get to see inside the priest's rectory, like, oh my gosh, no one gets a chance to see that. You know, our lives are pretty normal. Our lives are pretty simple, you know, but there are misconceptions about, are we lonely? We're not lonely. Loneliness, by the way, is not vocationally dependent. Loneliness is spiritually dependent. We're not lonely. And if we are, we know that we need to pray and be more fraternal. But we're thought to be lonely were thought to be professional bachelors, and we're not. We're not. We're closely linked to you. And one of the challenges is trying to have the time and to make the outreach to good people to enjoy the fraternity in their community. And because of the time, because of the interruptions, because of the privileged access that we have, blending all of that can be a challenge. It's a real challenge. Joys, we are invited. We are closely intimate to your lives. We see beautiful graces. We have an identity with other priests that cannot be fabricated. Challenges, life is busy. Evangelization must happen in new ways. Sometimes it's tough to be understood. We are thought to be lonely. There's patches of that, but oftentimes we're not. And our greatest challenge, I think, is not that this life is difficult, but it's being able to be close to Christ first and then giving to others what we receive from Christ. Amen.
Take a deep breath. After that, thank you, Mike. Great job. Good afternoon, everyone. Father Steve Brunowski from St. Hilary's. When we were given the invitation to speak today, they told us that we should speak on the joys and challenges of the modern priesthood. So I'm glad that Owen McDermott had such a beautiful prayer and mentioned St. John Vianney. We were on pilgrimage, several of us from St. Hilary's and a couple of other places, a little over a year ago, and actually went to see St. John Vianney's place of ministry and beautiful Ars. And one of the great things about the priesthood, as our brothers here have already mentioned, is this idea of this fraternity, that even though we're talking about the joys and challenges of the modern priesthood, we are so connected to priests and priesthood and ministry that goes back 2,000 years. So I want to begin by saying that the joys and the challenges of our modern priesthood, when you start reading works of priests of previous generations, it all sounds very familiar. There's probably a lot that's not that much different, even though there are different circumstances. And I think the challenges of our day have always been the challenges of preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ in a world that often is not very responsive to it. So I'm going to start with the joys, and my mantra is God cannot be outdone in his generosity. God cannot be outdone in his generosity. When I think of the joys of this life, and I've had similar experiences, like Merzweiler says, he's standing at the altar and he's thinking, how did this happen? My gosh, I'm the priest! You know, God calls and we respond, and sometimes you think, wow. I mean, here, 23 and a half years later, for me, there have been many, many, many joys. God cannot be outdone in his generosity to me through the gift of priesthood. First and foremost, I would have to say, and I think it's true for most priests, celebrating the sacraments. You've heard it already. You know, the privilege of being able to gather with faith community for the celebration of the Eucharist. Reconciliation, I say especially on teen retreats. Powerful, powerful experiences of the sacrament of reconciliation. Several years ago, the diocese came up with this idea of celebrating reconciliation in every single parish on the first Wednesday of Lent from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. at night. And we had a big line at St. Hilary's. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, people came in saying. It has been 30 years since I celebrated reconciliation. And the conversation and the grace and the beauty of having that kind of encounter, it's quite awesome. A lot of reconciliations are pretty boring, though, too, and rather routine. It's not always dramatic. As I always like to tell people, sin is not that original. Talk about original sin. Sin is not that original. But what's great is the grace and the mercy and conversion that you actually see in people's lives. So celebration of those sacraments. Also funerals. I mean, you are no more a priest than you are at a funeral, because at a funeral, you know, you are celebrating the great mystery of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and how this person and their life has been enfolded in that paschal mystery, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Beautiful. I say, as a Roman Catholic, there's one thing we do well is we do a good send-off. I don't think anybody can top it. And baptism is like the guys have said. You know, what a privilege to be able to introduce to the life of grace this new child of God. So beautiful, so beautiful. And weddings, although most priests probably would prefer 10 funerals over one wedding, because sometimes, you know, it's a little crazy, and culturally, sometimes people are more concerned about a lot of other stuff besides the church part of the wedding. It is a joy, and it's so beautiful to work with a couple, especially when they get it, and to see them through preparation and profess their vows and begin their vocation of service. You know, as a priest, we have our vocation of service, but you know, we are united with our married couples in that other vocation of service. And finally, I think in terms of liturgy, preaching, you know, I'm the kind of person who likes to preach, and I actually like the process. Sometimes it is painful. It's like giving birth, you know, you're like trying to figure out, what am I going to say? And, you know, there's that struggle about ideas and all that, but it's a beautiful process. And I, you know, enjoy that process. Not that the final outcome is always great, but you know, it's a privilege to be able to preach. Teaching, we have many students here today, so it's great to have our young people with us. But teaching, you know, teaching at the grade school, teaching in high school, teaching PSR, teaching our adults and the RCIA, I love. Teaching. I think it's just such a wonderful opportunity to share the richness of faith with everybody. A lot of times, you know, people have those aha moments when you're teaching. You know, connections are being made. The beautiful tradition we have as Roman Catholics over 2,000 years, and to be able to pass that on is a privilege. Helping people in struggles. You know, life is hard. And as a priest, you see a lot of the struggle in people's lives. But it's a privilege, you know, to be with people, you know, through suffering moments, through major decisions, through disappointments, through tragedies, through, you know, all kinds of tough stuff. But again, why do they come to us? Because they know that, or they hope that through their faith, they're going to be able to go through that valley of darkness, and hopefully we help them emerge in the light of Christ. The relationships that we build with people, Father Merzbauer is worried about the end of his first assignment, but having been almost all of my priesthood down here in the summit and WAM, Wayne Ashland Medina District. But I'm a Clevelander. I grew up at St. Columb. When Bishop Hillis said, "Steve, I'm happy to send you to St. Paul's in Akron," I said, "Thank you." But my heart went, "Oh my God, what am I going to do in Akron?" And I really thought the bottom had dropped out. But then I showed up, and I realized Akron's, you know, one of the best kept secrets in the diocese of Cleveland.
Amen.
And, you know, yeah. Give yourselves a round of applause. But I have, you know, very good friends from every single one of my parish assignments, and you build a family from amongst your people, you know, and it's just beautiful. It takes a long time to do all the Christmas cards, but it's just so great to share life, and you know, you have a casual relationship with a lot of people, and you have a deeper relationship with some people, but you probably have a very deep relationship with a few people. And it's just so wonderful that that family is supplied to us because of our vocation. What does that mean, eight?
We're at 8 minutes, but you said
I'm nearsighted, so I can't actually see that. And I'm too vain to wear glasses. So the beautiful relationship, I think both of these guys have talked about, that you have almost automatically. You know, I was ordained at 26, and I showed up, and people trusted me with, you know, their life. I'm like, you know, I don't even know you, and, you know, you're asking me to bury your spouse. You know, I mean, it's just the trust that you place in us is a huge responsibility, but it's just a beautiful thing. And I would say, Joy's Easter Triduum, you know, being on retreat, as I say, with the parish for those 3 days, Holy Thursday, Mass of the Lord's Supper, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, baptisms, confirmations, bringing people in the faith, I think there's nothing better than the Easter Triduum. Challenges for me as a pastor of a large parish in Suffolk County is the administrative duties. You know, we took philosophy and religion and church history and theology and all that, but nobody told me that one of those locking mechanisms on the gym door would cost $5,000. You know, who knew that? I have no idea, you know, why our parking lot, you know, needs to be repaired every other year to the total of $8,000, you know. Or, you know, administrative stuff. It's challenging as a pastor because, you know, people, you know, we have a lot of people on staff. And, you know, people's lives change and they have different, you know, challenges and difficulties. And when I thought this was going to be a beautiful summer this year, our music and liturgy director, her husband decided to take a job in Cincinnati and a fabulous offer. So I spent the whole summer practically, you know, doing 13 first interviews and 5 second interviews for a new music and liturgy director. But I'm a process person, so I love the process of gathering, you know, all those people together for the committee. But it's challenging, hard work. So those are the challenges, I think. Staff details, parish plant maintenance, upkeep, unforeseen problems. And I think one of the biggest challenges now, of course, is our reduced numbers as priests. You know, we had this study results the last couple months ago, all the priests of the diocese gathered. And there's going to be less of us as priests, you know, in the future with a lot of the same amount of work. But I think it's a challenge also in that, like Father McCallum says, to get the word out to people, like, this is a great life. It is a great life. God cannot be outdone in his generosity. And so there's several young men here today. So consider a life of the priesthood. When they do studies on job satisfaction for various people, priests are at the top of the list. 98 to 100% say they love what they're doing and they would do it again. And that's a good testimony to the beauty of priesthood and what God can do and is doing in our life.
Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon.
It is good for all of us to be here. Father Norm Douglas, and I'm the senior ranking member, but not elder, okay? But it did make me think of one thing. When I was ordained 42 years ago, my first parish, and I've always been in Summit County, was St. Barnabas. And I got to the rectory there, and there was a very grandfatherly figure there who was the pastor. I'm young, 27, and he was 67, and I thought, wow, I'm like with my grandpa, but I never knew. Well, I'm now 68, so I see him in a different light, okay? That happens to us, doesn't it? Many of you know I'm a Vatican II baby. The Vatican Council closed after 4 years on December 8th, 1965. I did not grow up Catholic. I had grown up in another church in high school, wasn't going to church anywhere until a couple friends had a positive influence on me. But at that time, when the Vatican Council closed, 2 weeks later, December 22nd of that year, I was baptized into the Catholic Christian Church at St. Bernard's, where I am now. I can still see the baptistry. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sure. And then I received Eucharist at that time. It was before the RCIA, and a lot of you know, because I've said this to others, I hope you do know RCIA stands for the Roman Catholic Intelligence Agency. Okay? I think we have one. Anyway, I received Eucharist for the first time at midnight mass that year through the Newman Campus Ministry. And it was a powerful experience for me because I did grow up in a church that spoke of this as real presence. As this is Christ who wants to nourish us, feed our deepest hunger of the soul. And so I remember having tears going and praying that I would never take Eucharist for granted. The reality is sometimes I have. But coming back to that memory, and for me, this last midnight mass, just within a couple weeks ago, I had the midnight mass at St. Bernard and celebrated my 50th anniversary. You know, I certainly didn't know 50 years ago I would end up here. You know, you don't have to. Hey, you're taking my time away. And in addition to real presence, what really touched me there and has through the years, because I'm thankful to all of you too. Always been in Summit County, grew up in Akron, went to the University of Akron. So not only faith, but faith community. Where all of us, whether it's priests connecting with one another and the people, all of us, there's in today, there's so many people disconnected, so many people isolated. And so knowing, and that's a challenge to help people see this beautiful faith that can give us a deep meaning and purpose to our lives as it did me starting out as an 18-year-old. And can connect us with other wonderful people for a lifetime. Can anything be better than that? And the Lord's in it all. And so I had that sense. 6 weeks after I became Catholic, at the end of January at the Loyola Lakes Retreat House, I was on a college retreat through Newman Ministry. And by the way, I do some part-time Newman Ministry now. But I was there, and at that time, the retreat was quiet. You heard the priest talk, because after all, the priest knew everything. Lay people didn't, right? We've learned, okay? But the priest gave all the talks, and we just spent time in quiet. Saturday night, I'm in that retreat house, in the chapel, trying to mind my own business or whatever. But, you know, God, when we try to mind our own business, God can break right in, you know, and we find out it's about His business. But there I am, and I'm in prayer, and somehow deep within me, 6 weeks of Catholic, I hear God saying, calling me to be a priest. And I thought, I don't even know the holy days yet, you know? And all the devotions. And I remember over time, and I said, okay, that I was a freshman at the University of Akron. If that call would never leave me, I'd go to the seminary when I graduated. Because initially I thought, well, maybe this is just me. I get enthusiastic about stuff, you know. But it never left me. And I remember also in that situation saying to the Lord very seriously, in high school, I was kind of a class cut up, class clown. I'm sure you're surprised at that. But I remember saying to the Lord, you know, and for all of us, it's meant to be that conversation back and forth. God, I'm not serious enough. You know, I'm too lighthearted. You know me, even kind of goofy. And I did hear the Lord say, not only there, but at other times through the years, when I thought that was a disqualifier, Lord, I'm too goofy. And the Lord said to me, I want your joy. I want your joy. You know, He calls each of us in our baptism and in ordination and other areas to serve Him with who we are, with what we have to bring. And for me, that was a big part of my life. It doesn't mean there aren't moments to be serious. Obviously there are. But here, certainly with Pope Francis, his apostolic exhortation, the joy of the gospel, you know, reminding us it's good news. And so I saw that, and I saw the very reason that I thought God didn't want me was how God wanted me. Also at that time, I had the great privilege of knowing two priests pretty personally. Father Jack McDonough, who his funeral will be Tuesday. He had been the Newman campus minister right when I came to the University of Akron. He was succeeded by Father Tom Dunphy, who is 85 years old now and still an active pastor at St. Martin of Tours in Valley City. These two men, what really moved me is the spirit and joy they had. And what moved me, and I think has had an influence on my life, they spoke homilies that spoke to real everyday life, where it's lived in the trenches. And I remember that. And also, it was the late 60s, and I remember them. A lot of people don't. But anyway, You know, we got involved in the civil rights movement, got involved in the peace movement, got involved in those ways that reminded me, yes, our faith is rooted in Eucharist and in Jesus Christ, and our faith is to make a difference in the world. We bring core values and a spirituality. And so bringing that to the civil rights movement and the peace movement and saying, as Christians, in fact, right at the conclusion of the Vatican Council, one of the documents was the church in the modern world. Reminding us that as a church, yeah, we have our parishes to be connected with, and we recognize the importance of outreach. We are called to touch lives in so many ways out in the community. You know, and I know, as I think the priests have said, with less clergy, that can be difficult because you need to be attentive to the mission of the parish, but then remember the mission of the parish for all of us. That John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved the parish, it says, for God so loved the world. And so but these two priests inspired me that, yeah, we need to get aware of those issues and speak gospel values and spirituality to them. Another experience in my own life that was so sacred, when I did go to the seminary, I was ordained a deacon, was able to baptize then. My mother came up to me. She had not been any particular faith. She had had a negative experience growing up. And she said to me after I was ordained a deacon, she says, I want you to baptize me. And she had never been baptized in the faith. And I said, well, Ma, you need to take instructions first. She said, I've been doing that for the last 4 months. She didn't let me know. So the beautiful thing is my very first baptism was my mom. And oh, here we go. What does that say? 1 minute? Is that 2 minutes? Okay. So, coming back, that for me, I talked about for God so loved the world and the importance of that. I, a number of years ago, had been at St. Martha for 15 years, talked to Bishop Anthony Pilla about the possibility of with this heart-to-heart communications, co-founded with Larry over there, that I could be involved in that, and its primary mission would be out in the wider community, helping people to make a stronger connection between their faith and core values and their work life, whatever productive activity you do. I've been privileged to do that for the last 17 years and be out in this wider community. And just one quick example, and I will wrap up. I remember a woman a number of years ago who was away from the church. She had negative experience, but she did come to heart because she was caring about her career. She was able to meet us, talk, and all of a sudden she saw her Catholic faith in a positive light, but she'd never gone to church to find it out. And so at that time, experiencing that and recognizing the relevancy of faith and the goodness of faith, she then came back into the church, had her two teenage daughters baptized, and there's so many other stories like that as we reach out. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Aren't we blessed?
Thank you.
God has given us a delayed Christmas gift, and now the challenge in the new year to pray for vocations. To pray for vocations. If you want to take a second now and write down any questions, and while you're doing that, just a few announcements. First, very important event for the entire diocese is on January 22nd, the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. Bishop Lennon will celebrate the Mass for Life up at St. John Cathedral at 10 a.m. on January 22nd. Let's pack that place and show them that we are people who are of life, living the gospel of life. Our next First Friday Club luncheon will be on Friday, February 5th, here at Tangiers. Again, you made it once, we'll do it again, right here on Market Street. And our speaker will be Sister Rita Mary Harwood, a member of the Bishop's Cabinet, the Director of Parish Life Ministry of the Diocese, and a wonderful speaker as a minister, as a Notre Dame sister. Deacon Bill Yoho will be the First Friday board host for that day. If you are listening to this on the podcast, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations either by sending a check to Carol at the Russell Avenue address. You can call our phone number at 330-535-7668 each month to register. Or there are hard copies at your table if you would like to just sign up for those of you who are here present. Please take a subscription form with you and consider making this series a consistent part of your spiritual and intellectual growth. You can hear a podcast of the previous speaker's presentation on the web. Please consider recommending it to a friend as part of your evangelization and invite a guest next time. Welcome someone back to our church. You can also keep up to date by joining us on Facebook. Please take time to fill out one of the orange information cards on the table so we can register you and keep you on our email list. At this time, I'd like to recognize first-time attendees. Please raise your hand so that we can congratulate you. It's almost every first Friday, occasionally it's the second Friday, but please come back and join us. We have St. Hilary Grade School in attendance. Any other grade schools? Let's hear it for St. Hilary. Father Steve was worried they'd boo when he was introduced. We have high school students from Our Lady of the Elms, Archbishop Hoban, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. Thank you for joining us, students. As always, we thank the First Friday Club board members who keep this moving. We'll be getting the programming for next year very shortly. At this time, I'll turn it back to Mike for the Q&A part. St. Francis de Sales is also here. We want to welcome. Where are our guests from St. Francis de Sales? There they are. Welcome. Okay, and now for the Q&A.
And any or all of you may choose to respond to any of these questions. How does your priesthood respond in today's secular world?
First thought that comes to mind with that is St. John Paul II, we were not made for comfort, we were made for greatness. That was repeated by Pope Benedict. The world, in its own designs, wants comfort. It deflects challenge. It deflects self-gift, and deflects being self-giving to the community around. And I think priesthood, as I tell the men that I work with, the ladies who I hear about religious life, we have some religious sisters here, it's countercultural. It is about becoming the best version of yourself. It's about encouraging others to do the same. So I think between preaching, presence, the way that we plan our day, who we spend our time with, how we've fallen in love with the people of the church as a priest, I think much of everything that we do, hopefully, is not towards comfort, but is towards greatness, and hopefully for everyone's growth and sanctity.
The example I'm using is stolen from Father Bob Steck, who at a presentation talked about when he used to go to Ohio Pile, one of those whitewater rafting places. In the old days, if you fell out, they would say, point your toes downstream and put your head back, and the stream will take you down and we'll pick you up when we get there. And he said, it was funny because the last time I went, he said, they said, no, we don't do that anymore. What we now ask you to do is radical self-rescue. That if you fall out of the boat, you should try and get back into the boat as soon as possible, because people were doing the other thing and they were getting injured because of rocks and all that. And he said, this is a great example of what it used to be like to be Catholic and what it's going to be like to be Catholic now. In the old days, the stream is the culture. And if you were Catholic in Cleveland, Ohio or Akron, Ohio, you went to a Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, you were Catholic, and you know, you didn't really have to do a lot of work in order to have Catholic values and all that. You just sort of point your feet down the stream and you were fine. Whether you had a real personal commitment to your faith or not, you look like a really good Catholic. Nowadays, you know, that's not the way it is. Our young people are being constantly challenged in terms of their faith.
And I think we need to really get serious and say we need to have radical self-rescue in terms of our Catholic faith. Don't assume your kids are going to be Catholic if you sent them to Catholic school. You have to make sure that you come to Mass every single weekend. You know, we have a lot of people that are spending a lot of money on Catholic education, but they're never there on the weekend. You know, are you praying as a family? You know, what about your own personal knowledge of the faith? Scripture study, you know, a good spiritual reading, praying as a family. You know, we have to be much more purposeful about being Catholic and being Christian nowadays than we've ever had to before. And maybe in a way it's good, because it forces us to really put our faith into action and be bold about our Catholic faith.
I really will be brief. I think another thing we talk about in Heart to Heart, but it's in our Catholic Christian faith, is to acknowledge there's a secular attitude. All of us can get into it wherever we are, work, at school. The secular attitude is we're oblivious to the God who really is there, who wants us to listen, open, cooperate with His Spirit. But at the same time, to recognize there's no secular sphere in the earth, in the world. The whole earth is sacred. The whole world, God's Spirit is in. And so helping people better recognize in their work, in their home, wherever, in their family, where is God here? How can I be more aware of that God presence and cooperate with that God presence more?
How do we get the message out that priesthood is a great vocation?
More sinless. But I think the answer is easy. I think it's part of the first question of this whole talk is joy. I think the joy of your very own life. That it's just like what you're saying, Father Norm, is about, you know, holiness isn't about joining every program at the parish, but it's about living that holiness and joy out in the world. That every Eucharist, it's like, go, glorify the Lord with your life. And if we can do that, discipleship will follow, commitment will follow, true vocations will blossom. So I think if you hold on to joy, you hold on to discipleship out in the world, I think discipleship, disciples beget disciples. And it kind of is a domino effect. That's all I have. Hey.
You can visit with the priest afterwards, but we're out of time and our podcast is going to expire in just a second or two. But before we do that, Father Norm, Marge reminded us you have a somersault trick you were supposed to do as part of your presentation.
This is all they remember about my preaching. One time I did a somersault. At this stage, I can only roll over.
He'll do that for those who stay after. At this time, I'd like to remind you of a presentation at Holy Family Church, Friday, January 15th, after the 7 p.m. Mass, that will be Robin Svoboda presenting. So again, Holy Family, Friday, January 15th, after the 7 p.m. Mass. And now I'd like to introduce Charlie Kader, also of St. Hilary, who will lead us in the closing prayer. And I hope he remembers those students taking final exams as he does that.
We thank you for the opportunity to listen to the joys and challenges of the priesthood in our modern world. We are especially thankful for the four priests who shared their joys and challenges with us today. May God continue to bless them and those they serve. We pray that the words that we will hear inspire all of us here and to continue to witness our faith to others in all that we say and do. In a special way, we pray that more young men will open the door of vocation of the priesthood. We may leave this gathering with confidence, trusting that Christ is walking with each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Charlie. And we'll see you next month, February 5th, for Sister Rita Mary Harwood. We guarantee it will be 70 and sunny in February. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sunny.
Hey, you done well. Hey.